The management of Euskaltel will run you through the presentation, which will be followed by a Q&A session. We will accept five questions. You can ask a question by phone by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. I am now pleased to introduce Mr. Fernando Ojeda, CEO of Euskaltel. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning to everyone. It's a pleasure to speak to you again, this time to present our first full-year results as a public company. As you already know, 2015 has been a transformational year for Euskaltel, and we want to take this opportunity to thank our investors and our employees for their continued support through these, let's say, exciting times for the company. In page two, we have a summary that we believe covers the five main milestones successfully achieved by Euskaltel during this year, 2015. First, the recovery of the organic growth in the company with implementation of a strategy sustained in four pillars that I'm sure you're very familiar with: bundling, mobility, new customers, and efficiencies. This has allowed us to stabilize our trends in residential and business segments and to deliver top sector profitability and cash conversion rates. Second, the successful IPO of the company, supported by high-profile institutional investors. Third, the completion of the acquisition of R Cable, which has been a transformational transaction allowing for the consolidation of 85% of the cable in the north of Spain and will result in the integration of two fully complementary platforms. Fourth, the optimization of our capital structure, achieving very attractive financing terms, providing flexibility and support to our shareholder distribution policy. Lastly, the implementation of a strategy to drive the enlarged Euskaltel to the next level through the integration of R Cable, deployment of our own mobile network, and other exciting initiatives that I will be pleased to take you through in this presentation. Moving to page three, we're proud to say that we delivered what we promised in accordance to our four strategic pillars. In this page, we would like to point you some examples in each of the areas. Please note that the information in this page relates to Euskaltel only. Starting with bundling, in 2015, we achieved a 65% penetration of 3P/4P subscribers and 3.4 RGUs per sub. We have launched an attractive TV proposition with enhanced functionalities with a successful customer uptake. Now, 48% of our residential subscriber base has a TV product from Euskaltel. We have also developed broadband products with speeds to up to 350 megabytes per second. Looking into mobility, we have become the number one residential mobile player in the Basque Country with a market share of 25% and a 66% mobile penetration among our customer base. Our street Wi-Fi rollout, Wi-Fi Kalean, now with more than 120,000 hotspots, was able to capture 20% of our total data traffic in mobility, providing an attractive customer experience with some optimizing data cost. Additionally, we have launched our own 4G service with eight operating sites as of the end of 2015 using our own LTE license. On customer growth, our key focus to date has been on building a high-value customer base by increasing total RGUs by 11.5% with additional 3,800 broadband services and over 7,000 additional pay TV services. We have also completed the network coverage on 10,000 new homes and two industrial sites that were in our plan. Lastly, on efficiency, our continuous focus on efficiencies has allowed us to achieve a 48% EBITDA margin and a record high cash flow conversion in excess of 70%. As anticipated, the company has demonstrated its capacity to manage the mobile cost growth with a total annual cost slightly over 10% growth, compared to an increase in data usage of over 70%. We have also improved our commercial online and online channels, delivering attractive growth rates. So moving on to the next pages, we enter into the details of the business performance during 2015. I want to highlight that the information shown in this section refers to data consolidating the last 12 months of Euskaltel and 1 month of R-Cable, December 2015, although we show R-Cable contributions separately where appropriate. Let's start on page 6 with a summary overview of the key financial parameters. The first point to make is that we have achieved our targets of revenue growth, EBITDA and cash flow conversion. Our total revenue grew by 2.1% and 8.8% when adding the month of R-Cable, mostly driven by the residential segment. 2015 represents our first full year of organic growth since the start of the crisis in Spain. As you can see in the chart on the middle, EBITDA for 2015 was 158 million, in line with analyst consensus. We also maintained a strong 48% EBITDA margin. On the right-hand side, you can see that our cash flow stood at 111 million, resulting in a conversion rate in excess of 70%, in line with our announced target. On page 7, let's focus now on our Q4 performance. The left-hand chart illustrates the quarterly evolution of the residential revenue. We have delivered consistent growth between 2 and 4% every quarter this year through our bundling and pricing strategy. Also importantly, as we had been anticipating, the top right-hand side chart shows the inflection point experienced in Q4 in the business segment, delivering 23.2 million euros revenue. Also, within business, SOHO continues its strong performance, maintaining a 7% growth in the last period of the year. Let's move now to page 8 and analyze in more detail our residential segment. As I said before, our strategy has been focused on driving bundling and customer value rather than aggressive customer acquisition. Hence, the number of residential subscribers for Euskaltel has remained relatively stable across the period. Importantly, our RGUs have grown over 11.5% over the same period. 3P and 4P penetration has consistently increased quarter over quarter, reaching 65.1% at the end of 2015, thanks to our successful bundling strategy. At R-Cable, 3P and 4P was 61.3%, showing upside potential going forward. On the right-hand side, let's focus on the evolution of each RGU. Fixed telephony is the only product in which RGUs have decreased, minus 0.8%, following the natural trend of the market. Broadband RGUs have experienced a solid 1.8% increase, with almost 80% of our customers on speeds of 50 or more megabytes per second. TV RGU's evolution deserves a particular focus, given its significant growth, almost 6%. This is a clear evidence of the success of our TV offering, based on high functionality and attractive content, and the limited impact of our decision not to invest in football. Mobile continues its strong momentum, growing by 34.3% and reaching 368,000 RGUs. This has allowed Euskaltel to become the leading player in the Basque Country, with almost 25% residential market share, but still we see potential to converge into our cable best-in-class penetration rates. Turning to page 9, the chart on the left illustrates the evolution of the churn rate for Euskaltel, which has improved on an annual basis compared to 2014, despite the accelerated fiber to the home network rollout of Telefonica during 2015. In the last quarter, churn stood at 14.9%, similar to Q4 of last year, slightly impacted by the loss of football customers in this quarter, as we will explain in the next page. On the other hand, R-Cable has a lower churn rate of 12.9%, thanks to its successful mobile strategy, pointing in the direction in which the combined company should progress. From a mobile penetration point of view, Euskaltel has consistently improved its performance, reaching a ratio of 66.4% at the end of the year, up from 53.3% at the end of Q1. Also here, there is still significantly below that of our cable, which has a 79.3% mobile penetration. On the right-hand side, ARPU is evolving as expected, reaching 55.9 euros at the end of 2015, also slightly below that of our cable at 56.6 euros. And finally, as we mentioned before, RGUs per subscriber have also increased, reaching 3.4 RGUs per sub in the fourth quarter, the highest level in the year, and slightly above our cable's level of 3.3 RGUs per subscriber. Let's analyze now what has been the limited impact on our subscriber base of not acquiring the football content. The number of subscribers leaving the company for this reason amounted to around 3,400. This means around 1.1% of total number of subscribers. Of these, around 1,900 were football subscribers, and around 1,500 were non-football subscribers who intended to contract football services and therefore left the company. Despite this loss, TV RGUs grew by over 7,000 units in 2015, supported by our selected TV offering and focus on high-value added services and functionalities. If we were to adjust the number of subscribers, excluding the football effect at the end of 2015, number of subscribers would have amounted to almost 300,000, representing a 1.1% increase over last year. Accordingly, the churn rate in Q4 would have been 13.9%, 100 basis points lower than the 14.9%. All this reinforces our decision not to have football content at current costs, as we have managed to drive growth in TV subscribers over the period. Let's move on to page 11. As anticipated in previous slides, Euskaltel's standalone EBITDA for 2015 amounted to 158 million, in line with analyst consensus at the time of the IPO. On a quarterly basis, Euskaltel has shown a consistent growth during 2015, while EBITDA margin in Q4 was the highest of the period, reaching 49.7%. In addition, our cable had EBITDA and margin of 8.9 million and 41.3 respectively. Regarding CapEx, 2015 investment for Euskaltel standalone was in line with guidance of 14% over revenue and slightly above what we initially estimated on the back of growth in pay TV subs requiring investment in decos, in set-top boxes, and accelerated 4G deployment. For completeness, CapEx for our cable in December stands at around 29% over revenue and consolidated CapEx up to around 15% over revenues. Our cable CapEx was impacted by non-recurring commitments to deploy network. The annual CapEx ratio for our cable stood at 22%. As a result of this, operating cash flow for Euskaltel standalone amounted to 111 million in 2015, representing more than 70% conversion rate, in line with guidance. On slide 12, you will see the financial leverage has increased significantly from 1.5 times in December 2014 to 5.1 times excluding synergies at the end of 2015 as a result of the IPO and the acquisition of our cable. If you look on the right hand side of the slide, you will see that the debt post acquisition of our cable amounts to almost 1.4 billion. The structure is as follows. Loans A and B of 535 million each, and an additional institutional tranche of 300 million. Also, let me remind you that Euskaltel has additional access to liquidity through available RCF lines. In addition, you can see in the chart that we do not have significant debt repayments until 2020, thus providing Euskaltel with sufficient financial flexibility. All in all, we estimate that the combined entity will be able to reduce its leverage within our stated guidance of 3 times to 4 times in the next 18 months. Turning to page 14, let's look at what Euskaltel has become with the acquisition of R. We're a company that consolidates 85% of the cable in northern Spain, with an addressable market of almost 5 million people. We're a company with 1.8 million RGUs, which contribute to around 570 million in revenue. We're a company with an EBITDA of around 265 million pre-synergies, generating an operating cash flow of around 165 million euros. But more importantly, we see a strong complementarity between Euskaltel and R, and our strategy is clearly focused on converging the key metrics of our business to the highest one of each individual company. In this context, let's move on to the next page to give you a brief update on the integration plan. Integration has started with 22 projects already underway. Let me give you some examples. In direct cost, initial mobile host agreement with a key supplier has been already signed at very competitive terms and in line with our expectations. Renegotiation with other key strategic suppliers such as content providers and technology providers has already started. In other OPEX, best practices are being shared between both groups, including commercial, SAC, handset, and customer care policies. In network investments, we expect to launch 4G services in Galicia by mid-2016. The integration of the network and the operation and maintenance optimization program is on track. In the organization, integration of systems will begin soon aimed to optimize processes. We have appointed group CIO, CTO, and innovation directors, and cultural integration plans are underway. So to summarize, we reconfirm our stated synergies guidance of 300 million euros of net present value to be implemented in the announced period. In page 16, we confirm our mid-term objectives for each of our strategic pillars. Drive bundling to increase 3P, 4P penetration to 75%, grow ARPU above 60 euros while maintaining churn at around 12%. Provide high-speed access everywhere to support mobile penetration above 75%. Increase customers by efficiently gaining share from DSL providers and therefore increase the residential penetration rate on the 30 to 35% range. Gain efficiency by delivering synergies as planned and benefit from best practices sharing to increase EBITDA margins up to 50%. Also, we will push efficiency ratios of the combined entity to the level of the better of both companies. With all this in mind, we expect that distribution to shareholders will start in 2017 based on 2016 results. On page 18, let me run you quickly through the key milestones achieved during the year and that have contributed to Euskaltel's transformation. In April, we converted our financial statements from Spanish GAAP to IFRS to present our accounts according to international market standards. In June, we raised 500 million debt at very attractive terms to optimize the company's capital structure prior to the planned IPO. Also in June, the company undertook a share split by which one old share was converted into two new shares. In July, the company was successfully listed at 9.5 euros per share with a price increase of 11% in the first day of trading. In October, Euskaltel received its initial credit rating from Moody's and Standard & Poor's with ratings of B1 and BB- respectively. In November, Euskaltel acquired 100% of R Cable for an enterprise value of approximately 1.2 billion euros, which required raising 900 million of additional debt financing and a capital increase of 255 million, which was subscribed at 10.08 euros per share. Considering all of this, we can state that 2015 has been one of the most active periods in Euskaltel's existence. We believe that we're strategically positioned to build on this momentum going forward. Moving to page 19, we show the shareholder structure evolution resulting from the listing of the company. We thank our shareholders for their continued support through our transformational process and in our different capital requests. And lastly, we wanted to make reference to Euskaltel's share price performance, which since the IPO date and during 2015 has significantly outperformed the Spanish index IBEX 35 and the STOXX Europe Telecoms Index with a very positive reception of the acquisition of our cable. So to summarize, again, thank you very much to our shareholders, to our investors and to our employees for their continued support through this exciting year. Our journey to bring Euskaltel to the next level has just started, and we are excited about our future, in which we will work very hard to continue delivering positive results. Thank you. Now the presentation is over, so just inform you that you will find in the annexes of this presentation all the supporting data from an operational and financial standpoint. And we're very happy to take some questions, so please go ahead with the Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Nuno Matias from Aitong Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning all. Two questions for me. Number one, looking at the evolution of the revenues from your residential business on the Basque region, there seems to be a slowdown in the revenue growth from Q3 to Q4. Can you give us a little bit more color on why this has happened, especially considering that in terms of ARPU, seems that the trend continues to be quite solid? Secondly, on the integration process of ERE, you mentioned that the integration is running smoothly, but can you give us your impressions over these first few weeks of the integration? What were the if any obstacles, or if you've seen any major positive surprises that eventually would lead you to revise upwards your synergy target for this operation? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Nuno. With regard to the first part of your question about the evolution of revenue, I mean, we are very satisfied with our full year 2015 results, and we believe that they set the ground for an attractive outlook in the quarters to come. In every quarter, I mean, there are different dynamics that could have impact and cannot be easily extrapolated. For instance, Q2 was particularly strong given the issues affecting one of our key competitors, and in the last two quarters we've had to manage also the new scenario of La Liga content. So in residential at the end we have managed to stabilize, let's say this way, stabilize our subscriber base, and we have achieved a strong growth in RGUs, plus 11% more or less thanks to our strategy. So we're very satisfied with this. Let's not forget that Q4 2015 has been our second best ever quarter in terms of EBITDA and EBITDA margin, with a successful management of the mobile cost due to the increase in the heavy increase in data consumption. So in all, we're confident that we are at the turning point of the trend in residential and enterprise segments, and that we expect to see growth in the coming quarters. With regards to the integration of ARE, we haven't seen any issues. On the contrary, we've seen some positive surprises in terms of the team, in terms of opportunities, additional opportunities of improving the cost basis of the new company. Lots of best practices on each side. People are working very well together, no challenges in terms of people. The initial findings that we are doing on the projects that we've already launched, like for example the renegotiation of the mobile host and so on, are promising. The numbers that are coming out are promising. So what we can say is that we will achieve, as a minimum, the target that we set out. So no negative surprises. I would say, on the contrary, great company, great culture of the company, opportunity of having a bigger but also a better company moving forward.
Okay, many thanks.
Next question comes from Gianmarco Bonaccina from Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sorry, a couple of questions. The margin you reported standalone in the Q4 had a small decline compared to the Q4 2014. Can you give a little bit more light in terms of the cost? Did you have some higher marketing cost because you are preparing for a stronger growth in 16, or if you can give some light on the OPEX? The other question is about the EBITDA for 2016. If you can provide some guidance or at least a range, and also in terms of the what we should expect for the phasing of the the synergies. Thank you.
Okay. In terms of the margin in the last quarter, I mean, the EBITDA margin was the second highest in the history of Euskaltel. To compare with previous year is not fair. Previous year was, let's say, a special year in terms of EBITDA margin. So I would keep the view of the EBITDA margin as being the total year very positive, and the last quarter the EBITDA margin the second highest in the history of Euskaltel. And if we take away the extraordinary fact of the Q4 last year, we would be looking at the best EBITDA margin ever in the history of Euskaltel, despite the strong increase in mobile data consumption. So in that sense, we believe it's a good and it's a positive factor. Looking at your question about facing and EBITDA guidance for next year, I mean, what we're looking at basically is at least a sustained EBITDA margin for 2016. We don't see any significant changes there. Slight increase, but very pretty stable. Bear in mind that we're putting together two companies. Now we're looking at a total of two companies. One coming from a lower margin. So I would say pretty stable or very very low increase. I mean, our goal for next year is to confirm the growth, a change in trend, to confirm the growth for next year. We have to be able to grow in net residential ads. I mean, I think we've proven that we've touched ground this year, and taking away the football effect, we would have had a very slight increase, reaching 300,000 subscribers in Euskaltel. So for next year, 2016, I think the challenge is let's confirm that we can grow in residential subscribers, keep the trend in revenue, and all of that keeping at least the EBITDA margin. In terms of the phasing of the synergies, we expect them to come in the second half of year. I mean, now we're doing all the work, all the projects. We're putting numbers behind. We're putting in place these projects. The main synergy that we have in terms of value is the change in host for mobile, and that will happen. Will begin during summer. So the positive impact of the change in host will be in the second half of the year, so September onwards. So I would look at the synergies coming in the second half of 2016.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Ivan Leal from BBVA. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey there. Good morning, everybody. Maybe let's make two questions. First one on CapEx. Turkey will CapEx at 56 million euros full year. That's significantly above what you guys are investing on the Euskaltel footprint. How should we think about this going forward? The second one also in Euskaltel CapEx itself, it's 14.3%. It's just marginally below the 13-14% guidance. Maybe you could tell us if in within 2015 CapEx there is some deployment of mobile sites. Okay. And the final one is on the margin side. Is Fernando, you've mentioned a couple of times now the impact on margins of mobile data growth. Okay. So I don't know how concerned we should be about this. Okay, and by this I mean how that mobile site deployment is performing, and how much traffic are you going to be able to offload your own network, and when?
Okay. Many questions. Thank you. In terms of CapEx, the difference in absolute value of CapEx and the total amount at the end of the year is inside what we believe is our guidance, that was between 13-14%. We're talking about a deviation of around 2 million euros, more or less. Look into detail. Part of it comes from the acceleration in the acquisition of TV customers. We have seen an acceleration, especially in the last quarter of the year, and it's not only the installation of the customers, so that the provisioning is also CapEx, but also the set-top box. So we have there an important part of that increase in CapEx. So it's related to growth. And the other part is related to the acceleration of the rollout of our 4G network. We stated that we had a 3-year plan to roll out around 300 sites, and what we're doing is we're accelerating it, and we've done around 10 sites at the end of this year when we were planning to just have the core of it running and maybe one site to do the test. So we already have 10 sites up and running in the Bilbao area. As a pilot for our employees, and that has been an acceleration of the investment. That doesn't change our views in terms of CapEx for next years. The only thing is that we have advanced some of it to this year. So we believe that looking forward, we should be inside the guidance of what we've been talking about. The CapEx of this year also includes that we had a plan, you remember, for 3 years also, a fixed rollout network of 50,000 homes. We've done almost 11,000 homes this year in 2015, and in 2016 we also have an interesting and challenging rollout of part of those 50,000. So the differences in CapEx mainly come from adding new customer or accelerating the rollout of 4G, and that is related to the second part of your question, is around mobile data. We insist a lot on mobile data because for us it's something that the flexibility of our contract with Orange allows us to really have sustainable margins on mobile. As long as the world goes around 3G. The example the number I was giving just before during my presentation was that we've had a data increase of around 70%, 70, while the total cost, the bill we've been paying our host has only increased by 10%. So that gives you an idea of how flexible our contract is. That doesn't mean that puts obviously has put pressure on the margins, because a 10% increase on mobile interconnection cost is a 10% increase that obviously affects your margin, and that has been a pressure that, as you can see on our EBITDA margin of the year, we've been able to offset very well. The reason of acceleration of the 4G rollout is precisely that we believe that with 4G, we right now have 40,000 customers on 4G. We believe that 4G will bring an acceleration of data consumption, but not during 2016, but probably second half of 2016, already in 2017. So we have to get our network up and running as fast as we believe we can. We expect midterm, not short term, but midterm, to offload around between 35 and 40% of the total 4G data traffic onto our own network. That has two factors that limit it. One is the number of 4G enabled devices in the market. All the smartphones that we sell right now are 4G enabled, but we have to replace, or the customer has to replace their current devices. So that is one of the limiting factors, and the other is how fast we roll out our BTSs on the towers, and that we will do as fast as we see that the handset penetration of 4G enabled devices goes up. So we believe we have this pretty much under control. 2015 has been a good proof of it, and 2016 we don't expect any changes in margins. And 2017 onwards, as we've been stating, due to the rollout of our network, we will see a slight improvement in our gross margins.
And Fernando, maybe on air cable capex, I mean, 56 million euros is what we should expect going forward.
Well, we expect the total combined capex to be around 15%. This means that our cable capex will get more in line with get closer to where we are right now, down from the 22% where they're right now. We have to bear in mind that they've deployed in the last 4 years almost 18% of the network. That has ended. That's ending this year. So we expect it to be closer to where Euskaltel is. On top of that, there are important synergies in the capex area that will come from our applying what we've applied in Euskaltel in the last 3 years during our transformation process. So we feel very confident by applying the same approach to capex in R that we did in Euskaltel to bring it down to a very similar level, bringing the total company to that 15% that we believe is enough to increase speeds to customers, to deliver new services on TV, to roll out the 4G network, and so on.
Thanks very much, Fernando.
You're welcome.
There are no further questions.
Okay. Thank you very much to all.
Ladies and gentlemen, this now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.